Our scripture reading for today is taken from the first verse of the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the last few weeks in the news, both newspaper, television, magazines, and so on, internet, we have been flooded with images of carnage and destruction. And that's often the case in this fallen world. When Noah and his sons came off of the ark, I wonder what it was like for them to walk around and to run into the scattered bodies of animals as well as human beings. How many years did it take before they stopped seeing carcasses laying around in the world? When Lot's wife turned and looked back at the smoldering and burning cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, what kind of sight was that for her to see? And when others came upon the scene to find not only her now turned into a pillar of salt, but also that those cities still smoldering, what was that like? How long did you still see smoke rising? When Moses, with the children of Israel, when he ascended up to the top of Mount Sinai into a cloud and disappeared into the cloud on the top, and we're told there was fire igniting the top of that mountain and lightning striking it and an earthquake at the foot of the mountain, what was that like for the children of Israel to look up and to witness? How long did the children of those adults have nightmares about that day? When the band of teenagers came out to mock the prophet Elisha and make fun of him for his baldness and so on, making fun of God's very prophet, we're told that two she-bears were sent by God out of the woods to maul 42 of them to death. When their parents came to find them, were they able to even recognize which ones were their children? There are times when God chooses to execute his just wrath very quickly and very immediately. And when he does that, it's not a pretty sight. Just think of all of the powers of nature that God has at his disposal to condemn man and to crush mankind and carry out his justice. We're told that in 1980, when I was in college, Mount St. Helens erupted out in the state of Washington, that nature there produced a blast that was 8 times stronger than any nuclear weapon had exploded before. It obliterated trees and side of the mountain blew out. Cars were destroyed, vegetation, animals, people. He said that the blast devastated an area that was about 10 times the size of the island of Manhattan. Just the reverberation itself destroyed close to 30 bridges in the state of Washington. Is there any wonder why we, sinful people, are terrified of Judgment Day? When we think about having to face God, I remember talking to a young college student years ago and asking her about that moment coming ahead in her future and what that would be like. And she said, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so frightening. God's law is legislative in nature. It is punitive in nature. It is vindictive in nature. And we know it. My own heart knows it. My own conscience knows it. I know my heart, the little justice system inside of me that knows what my life has been like, looking forward to Judgment Day, knows what the scripture teaches, the soul that sins, it shall die. And God's condemning wrath must fall on those who break his law. He says to us, you shall be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. His justice won't let it be any other way. We fool ourselves if we think that God is somehow like an old grandpa, that when his grandkids scratch his car, that he just kind of says, well, boys will be boys, and overlooks it all. God's justice that he has bound himself to will not let him take our sin lightly. His very truthfulness, his own word that he has given us, is on the line. And this is part of his system of justice. But St. Paul announces to us in our text for today that God himself is also a God of mercy and grace. And this same God of justice, who now in his heart has compassion for people like us and what would be ahead for us in our future, has chosen, because of that mercy in his heart toward you, has chosen to resolve your dilemma. Yes, his wrath has to be carried out. It certainly has to fall on sinful humanity. But he has chosen instead to divert it unto the only holy being that has ever lived, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ. And in the cross of Christ, when the full condemning wrath of God poured out on him, and when he was completely abandoned by God there on Calvary, there God's pure justice was satisfied. And at the same time, his mercy and compassion toward you has stayed intact. So Christ is now the shield which has taken the brunt of God's law for us. All of the wrath of God's hot, burning anger, his consuming anger against sin, has now found resolution in the death of his Son. In the city of Jerusalem, if you build a new house or apartment, you are required by law, because of all of the attacks from the Palestinians lately, you are required by law to build a bomb-free shelter called a strong room on the interior of your home. And it has to be large enough for all the members of your family to go inside of it and survive a blast, a bomb, and its after effects for many days. Christ has become for us our strong room when it comes to the condemning wrath of God. And God now invites you to run inside of him for your security. Let him be your shield. God's justice, again, must release you. If you're in Christ, it must release you from being condemned. He has no other choice. His justice that he has bound himself to in Scripture demands it. Because his justice now has already been carried out in the wounds of Christ. And the fact that God now is going to live up to his justice and does so according to his word means that you must be released. So now, where will the condemnation against you come from? Is it going to come from people that know you and maybe know your sins? Is it going to come from your accuser, the devil himself? Or are those condemnations going to come maybe even from inside of your own conscience and heart? But as Luther says, whoever wishes to condemn you must condemn Christ first. Notice the certainty that St. Paul describes for us. He doesn't say there might not be any condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, or there probably is no, or we hope that there is no condemnation. He says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. May this alone be your confidence. Stay under your shield. Stay inside of your strong room. Amen. Please join me now in the prayer for Monday morning on page 168, and let us rise. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, Make me sincere in my love to you and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen.